the Ozarks, back on the farm.
Well, come on in out of the rain and set a spell, friends. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore, traditions, the rain, and just generally speaking, to help brighten up your day on this Saturday. And here she is, a little on the damp side. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning. Thank you, Fred. The day needs brightening up. My, I guess we need this wonderful rain. Well, good morning, friends, all over and everywhere, big, little, old, and young. What a great blessing is the memory of friends all around and about. God bless you all this morning. Such a beautiful thing I read recently which said, increase, O God, the spirit of friendliness among us, that in perils we may uphold one another, in calamity serve one another, in suffering lean on one another, and in loneliness befriend one another. What a world it would be if we all lived up to that. As Dr. Ripma said this morning on the air, if we only had inner resources. You know, we must have inner resources. Well, we're having just ideal weather, aren't we? Only it's too cold mornings to suit me. I keep wanting to turn on the fire, but if I start that now, then by the time real cold weather's here, I'll be a real tenderfoot. Well, people always send me things that are interesting, and I do wish I had more time and space to do them justice. Mrs. Dwight Vickers at El Dorado Springs, Missouri, sends me a very old clipping with the old-time rhyme on it about what colors to marry in. Now, I think I quoted this little rhyme a long time ago, but as it's old and is in the realm of folklore, I'll give it to you gals again who are listening in. Marry in green, ashamed to be seen. Marry in gray, you'll go far away. Marry in red, you'll wish yourself dead. Marry in blue, your lover is true. Marry in black, you'll wish yourself back. But marry in white, then you've chosen all right. I remember I was just a kid when I heard that. Like the rhyme about birthdays. Monday's child is, if you're born on Monday, that is, Monday's child is fair of face. Tuesday's child is full of grace. Wednesday's child is the child of woe. Thursday's child has far to go. Friday's child is loving and giving. Saturday's child works hard for its living. But the child that is born on the Sabbath day is blithe and bonny and good and gay. Well, I was born on Thursday, so it says I have far to go. I haven't gone very far yet. But I have been out of the United States twice. I've been in Mexico several times, and I've crossed the Caribbean Sea and gone to Haiti. But I wish I could start around the world today, right now. I'd go on 20 minutes' notice. Anybody want to take me? But I wouldn't ride in the air, so I'd have to stick to ships and trains. I'm never going to ride in the air, not so long as I live in this world and until I get a pair of wings. You know that little law of gravity I've told you about before. Whenever they get rid of that law of gravity, I'll take out for the moon. Although I want to go to the moon just about as much as I want a hole in my head. Well, my good old friend J.W. Brazil, who is a singer of the old shape note songs, a fine gentleman, a former school teacher in the early days, and a real Ozark pioneer. Now and then he drops me a line about something in his beautiful Spencerian hand. He went to school in the days when good writing was taught, and they used to always have copybooks and have a class in writing when I was a kid. That was before chicken scratching ever took the schools over. I wonder why they don't teach good writing anymore. My daughter was a high school teacher for some time, and she used to bring home her students' papers, and I'll declare, if a Greek and Hebrew translator could make them out, he could do more than I could. Actually, half the high school students nowadays can't write so you can read it, especially the boys. I wish they could see Mr. Brazil's writing. Why not try writing him a letter or just a card and ask him to answer? He'll do it. I'll bet he will. I know he will. And you'll get to see about the most beautiful writing you ever saw. And he's now 87 years old. He lives on Broadway. Well, back to my subject. I want to tell you that he sent me a cute little funny squib. It was about berths on trains. You all know, maybe the kids don't, of course, that a bed or bunk in a Pullman sleeping car is called a berth. And there are upper and lower ones, like you have in your scout camps, you know. The lower ones are the higher, that is, higher in price. So here's the article. Why lower berths are higher? A traveler had asked the ticket agent for a Pullman berth on the train to New York. Upper or lower, asked the agent. What's the difference, said the traveler. Well, there's a difference of 50 cents, said the agent. The lower is higher than the upper. The higher price is for the lower. If you want it lower, you'll have to go higher. We sell the upper lower than the lower. In other words, the higher, the lower. Most folks don't like the upper, although it is lower on account of its being higher. When you occupy an upper berth, you have to get up to go to bed and get down to get up. You can have the lower if you pay higher. The upper is lower than the lower because it's higher. If you're willing to go higher, it'll be lower. But by that time, the poor traveler had fainted. Now you figure that out if you can. It's a whiz. George Nicholas Reese at Nixie, who's truly one of Ozark Land's outstanding poets for several years, he sends me on a card a little poem, a memory of his old shepherd dog that he loved, old Jack, a Crag Holler dog. George lives in Crag Holler, in God's country. Yes, it is beautiful down there, God's country. My old shepherd dog loved Crag Holler. He was quite a dog. Where he led me, I would follow, for each holler log held a certain challenge to him, possum, coon, or fox. Hidden trails, he always knew 'em, havens in the rocks. Jack walked softly in Crag Holler, nothing missed his sight. Swum each pool and cruised each shallow brook, was his delight. But he never skipped a chore time, bringing home the cow. And he allers come aforetime for his evening chow. And that's George's memory of old Jack. I ran across a little sermon in a little poem last week that set me to thinking. It fitted into my own life so, and it'll fit yours. Things we so often neglect and ought to do, people we neglect. The poem title of it was Lost Neighbor. All week I meant to run across and see her for a moment's chat, but there was this or that, the breakfast club, the missionary tea, the costume for the play. So every day, so busy every day, she died this morning just a block from me. I really loved her so, and now she'll never know. Isn't that life? And we're all guilty, every one of us, of just that kind of neglect. The latest news says the president is going to call ever so many thousand troops. Oh my, and every time I read that I shudder. And yet, not criticizing, I'm sure the men who run this nation and these great military men know a lot more about it than I do. Heaven knows I wouldn't know what to do. When hatred and bluff and stubbornness and propaganda and godlessness and atheism stare us in the face. Dear Lord, the world has known so many wars. They leave such bitter, deep, and lasting scars. Reach out thy hand, O maker of us all. Bend down thy listening ear and hear our call. In this and every other threatening hour, only thy might, dear Lord, only thy power can change the hearts of men and bid them cease their avarice and greed and bring us peace. Well, it's all so bewildering that I really ought not to talk about it at all. Well, I'll change the subject by asking you a question. Mrs. Edith Freeman of this city called me and asked me to ask on the air if any of you women know how they used to make grape jelly and use Epsom salts in it to gel it some way, and it was delicious. Now, you know, that sounds queer, but I know she's telling a fact. I certainly remember it myself. My mother made it that way, and so did Mrs. Henson and Mrs. Fox, our neighbors. You don't taste the salts at all. but I do not know how it was done. If any of you know the recipe and the way they did it, please call me and tell me how it was, will you? And then, I'm in the phone book, you know, and then I can tell Mrs. Freeman. They made it with Epsom salt, a little bit of, I don't know how much. I do thank those who still send me trading stamps for the helpless and retarded children at the state home at Marshall to buy a bus for them. You know, I read the other day that they were going to build a beautiful chapel for worship at some prison and build it with trading stamps. Believe it or not, they're almost ready to start work on it. I wish I'd kept the article because I forget where the prison was. I think it was in Wisconsin. They said it would take 250,000 books, but they were getting them sent from all over America. Now, what do you think of that? If anyone saw that article in our paper, and they have the paper, they think, please tear it out and send it to me, won't you? It was just a few days ago. Build a stone chapel with trading stamps. And you think it's terrible that we're going to build a bus, or buy a bus. People still send me the crazy epitaphs on tombstones, and everyone is always interested in them. Really, you know, these epitaphs on burial stones are the queerest thing to me in human life. What on earth makes people put on such crazy epitaphs? And they're real, don't you ever doubt it. If you don't believe it, there's a book out you can get that has about 5,000 of them from all over the country. It's called Sermons in Stone, and pictures of many of the tombstones, hundreds of them, with the verses right there. Here is one sent to me one time I always thought was a good one. A woman in a Colorado town erected a tombstone over her husband's grave, and this is what it said: sacred to the memory of Jacob Starn, erected by his loving wife. And then this verse was below: and of this there is no doubt that all your sins will find you out. Now, isn't that a pretty thing to put on her husband's tombstone? How would you like to have that? Here's one on a tombstone. It says it's copied from a magazine published by a tombstone industry in New England. Here lies our little Bobby Ray. He neither cries nor hollers. He stayed with us but 2 short days and cost us $20. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And you know, a woman put on her tombstone one time that a very loving verse to her husband, and she says, inscribed by his wife who grieves for him, whose address is so-and-so on a certain street. Now that way, I guess she thought she'd get another husband. Oh boy, I can't understand it. Well, my time's about up, and I'll be seeing you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.